You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
In the Octagon, out in San Francisco, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle.
Do you like not care about your hygiene? Is that what we're hearing here?
I'm actually an obsessive hand washer.
Or maybe the best team in the MLS.
Wait a minute. No, Cashman, that's wrong.
Why?
Because, no, that's absolutely wrong.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio and SiriusXM FC, Channel 85 at MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, as always, Dave Goss, Matt the Armchair Analyst Doyle. And it's the final show of 2015, guys. This is it. We are headed off into the wilderness for a couple weeks. That's debatable. A rest. We're getting a rest. We'll call it that. We'll be back on the 4th. So, you know, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, insert all the other greetings around this season.
I think we just had Diwali a couple weeks ago.
I don't know. All I know is there's no way you didn't offend anyone by what you chose to say and the way you did
it. Non-denominational greeting of thanks and happiness.
And now we scatter
Saturnalia
to the winds.
Where are you guys headed? What's the next step?
I'm going to be about 40 blocks north of here.
Okay. Sounds exciting.
I might go to Boston for a little bit, but otherwise I'm going to
New York City deserted in the holiday period.
It's
actually
so
a great,
great
time.
Actually it's
a great
actually time relaxing. Yeah. It's really, really fun.
It's pretty sweet.
I'm going to be headed up to Connecticut. Christmas in Connecticut. You know, I don't think it's going to be a white Christmas this year, but it's nice to see the family, and you get there for a week, and then you get the hell out.
Yeah, Great Bend, Kansas. That's my next stop. I've never set foot there in my life, but my parents just moved there. I've done a lot of scouting in the last couple of days. Movie theaters, dive bars, places to play pool.
Where is it?
It's in Western Kansas, basically.
So it's Dust Bowl.
A little bit. It's definitely an oil boom town, I think.
Where is it in relation to Wichita? Like, is it a
west,
different
a little bit
of
northwest
Kansas, of Wichita?
I don't know how many cultures we really have in Kansas. there's city and there's not city, and it's not really that much of a difference in between.
You ever see the Dust Bowl documentary by Ken Burns?
Ken Burns.
No.
I highly recommend
that's
it.
What's the baseball one? I got to have a lot of time to kill. So.
You are going to have a ton of time.
Yeah, I downloaded all the – no, I didn't. I acquired all of the Star Wars films.
Okay, And the place you're going to has electricity?
Yes.
Indoor plumbing?
I assume so. I've never been there. So that's very good.
What brought on the move?
New job. Hey, but you know what? It's our job to talk about soccer. So let's actually jump into it. There's a lot of news here. We'll start with the things that are most pressing in the MLS and U.S. men's national team and Canadian national team world. A lot of news to go over. In the second segment, we're going to give out some TAF, some sweet, sweet fat, whatever we're going to call it. You know, it's a new league mechanism, club fan mechanism that we just made up on the spot.
But it's been officially released by Major League Soccer.
Dave's writing the press
release.
The
terms of which are undisclosed.
Yeah, no, we definitely are not going to disclose them. Anyway, we'll give a gift to all the MLS teams out there and help them out as the year turns to 2016. So stick around for that. In the second segment, in the mailbag, some stadium news in New York City, in fact. Some in Miami, other places. We'll also dive into the mailbag with our last bit from all the fans this year. But let's get into the news. Let's start with Jermaine Jones, because this is I saw the tweet. I can't remember what it was, maybe Saturday morning. He tweets this out. Of course, he's out of contract at the end of the year, trying to find a new club. Hopeful, obviously, it'll be the New England Revolution. He says, I would like to return to the Revolution, but they offered me less than 20% of what I made last year. That was it. So negotiating publicly is Jermaine Jones. I'm curious as to whether that's less than 20% of the reportedly $2.8 to $3 million he made last year, or 20% less than that. I'm not sure. I do know that he's out for the first six games of 2016, and according to U.S. soccer bylaws, those are unpaid. He can also not play for the U.S. until those are served, so he
if
and
he
the Reds...
If he doesn't sign an MLS...
He could play those games more quickly, so to speak.
He's not suspended from U.S.
Right.
Right. But he has to...
He can't play for the U.S. until he has served six games on suspension with a league, with whatever his league club
with
is.
Wherever he lands. So if he landed in Europe and he played six games during those six – well, he didn't play. He would be suspended for those six games. During that time, he would have to serve that suspension.
Would he be suspended?
I believe so. I believe that they have to recognize
a FIFA-sanctioned –
there you go.
Okay. Boy, we got to go back
into the – A Fed-sanctioned –
into the
Fed
bylines.
Sanctions, I guess.
Yeah, we'll go into the by. Anyway, let's say he resigns with
the
MLS.
We're
going
to come back in the
mailbag
with the answer to this.
Right. What do you think about this idea of Jermaine Jones negotiating publicly? It's not the first time he's done it. Less than 20% of what he made last year would be clearly a significant pay cut. But this is a guy that's also going to be gone with Copa America. He's shown his hernia doesn't exactly hold up on that turf. He's going to have to play there, you know, 17 games or whatever it might be, like 12, 10, depending on how many games he's actually there.
And even when he was healthy last year, he wasn't the player that he had been in 2014. And look, he was awesome down the stretch in 2014, but he also took 2 months off after the World Cup. He just had to play about 13 games during the second half of the season for a team that was already pretty well constructed. I don't think Jermaine Jones is that player over the course of a full season, especially not at 35, especially not when he's going to be putting in miles until he breaks with the U.S. national team. And 20% of what he made last year is still more than a maximum contract.
It's a choice on both sides. You know, how much are they willing to pay? How much is he willing to take? And what other opportunities does he have? He has said that he wants a long-term deal. Of course, he's a family man. His family out in L.A., he flies back all the time to see them. He would like to have that long-term deal, he says, in order to move them to Boston so they can be enrolled in school when he has a sense of security. So, of course, that's a big part for him there. Lee Wynn, Dave, also, I don't know if I want to call it rumored.
I don't believe Hoche, a single
thing. They have
thing.
A picture of him and his girlfriend at the airport.
Right. No, he said he's in Vietnam to promote the country and do some sort of branding tour. Yeah. That's irrelevant. And then they asked him if he was coming to play in Vietnam, and he wouldn't comment, which means naturally that he 100%
right.
Is.
Well, they said on Saturday he will then comment. Of course, quoted in this article, it was, his representative has been negotiating with several clubs in Mexico and Vietnam recently.
Which that's us quoting the article. The article quoted no one in saying that.
No, which sounds definitely like some agents. Agent drumming up interest behind the scenes, which may or may not exist. But Lee Wynn, I think he's a guy you got to hold on to if you're the Revs, right?
I don't know.
Because groundbreaking stuff from,
are you kidding?
IDK.
Lee Wynn 2 years ago had a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
And you were supposed to pay him for having that year. I don't think he'll ever have that year again. And there's nothing wrong with
but
that.
He's still,
those numbers,
he's still the key to everything they do.
Maybe, but if you can find a guy who can be that key at a better level, that's a way to take this team to a higher level.
I'm not sure you can at a better level without absolutely cracking open the book.
Open the book.
No, they don't. The Revs don't.
Maybe
really
they
do
won't.
That.
But
here's the thing. Lee Wynn, the Revs attempt and complete more passes in the final third than any other team in the league. And it's primarily because of Lee Wynn's ability in close spaces. Yep. He can receive and pass the ball and make dangerous runs and create stuff that other number 10s in the league don't create. Benny Failhaber can't play like that. Lee Wynn can't play like Benny Failhaber either. But if you lose Lee Wynn, you lose the entire system for the Revs. Kellen Rowe's not going to do
that. No, they don't have a guy on their books that can do what he does.
And you can't name a number 10 who's available who would do what he does.
Right, but I don't know who the next Diego Valeri and Mauro Diaz is, and that's not my job to.
Diego Valeri and Mauro Diaz don't do what Lee Wynn does.
I don't know that Mauro Diaz wouldn't be able to make that team a better team.
Mauro Diaz plays deeper and hits
through balls. And is there anything wrong with that? They have speed.
There's nothing wrong with it, except for the fact that you have to change the entire damn system, Dick.
Which was a team that made the playoffs this year.
They've made the playoffs 3 years in a row. They have been consistently one of the best teams in the East, and they made it all the way to MLS Cup last year. Lee Wynn is still in two years ago. Lee Wynn is still in his prime. Good teams do not lose key cogs in their prime.
Well, there you have it. A little clash there. I want to hear what New England Revolution fans think, because there's some disagreement there. Alberto Aquilani also
That sounds like a
linked.
Terrible
there's
idea.
A lot of link. I Googled Alberto Aquilani, and the first thing is his Wikipedia entry. The second thing is, whatever happened to Alberto Aquilani.
The only thing you think about with that player is injuries.
Yeah,
that's the only thing he's known
he
for.
Is at their sister club right now, Sporting CP in Portugal. He's not a starter for that team in league play, but he has played a lot in the Europa League and Cup for them. So keep an eye on that stuff, the veracity of any of those rumors. I can't be held accountable for any of that. So I'm not sure how that goes. Toronto FC continues their march on. You know, we talked to Kurt Larson last week. He says they're going to be the offseason winners for the third straight year. They did sign Will Johnson, they traded for Will Johnson from the Portland Timbers. We knew that move was at least in the works. That was reported for a while, but it has been completed. There's also rumors that Milan Borjan, a goalkeeper for the national team, plays in Serbia right now, has played in Turkey, will sign with them. They need a goalkeeper. That's still a key rumor. And Joe Bendik headed to Orlando from Toronto. Will Johnson, how does he fit? Can he figure out Michael Bradley?
Is everyone thinking that Will Johnson's going to play a deep defensive midfield behind Michael Bradley, like 100%? Is the thought that they're going to play a 4-4-2?
I don't know how you can put Bradley and Chara in the same central midfield and not have the same exact defensive issues that Portland had with Johnson.
Bradley and Will Johnson.
They wish
they had Diego Chara.
Right, exactly. Sorry. Yeah. And that also, like, what do you end up doing with Benoit Cherou in that situation as well? Johnson's a good player. I'm just not sure how he fits.
If they play a 4-2-3-1 with both of them in that area, in those two deep midfielders, you have
Javinko.
I don't think Cherou is a starter for the most part. You're always going to have to move players around. They're not going to be able to start.
Is it Javinko on that left wing, or is it Javinko in the
No, it's Javinko on that
left
wing.
So who plays in the middle?
Osorio, and then you need someone on that right side still.
So you're taking the best player in the league and you're going to play him out of position.
Who? Javinko? I don't think that's out of position.
Yes.
No,
yes,
it's absolutely not, because he floats out left. That's where he plays.
Yeah,
and
but there's a difference between floating out left as a striker and playing left wing.
But he's got Justin Morrow, and they have Betashore behind him. He's got full freedom to float off that left wing and do anything he wants.
That is different than being an actual left winger. He's going to have to defend his side. He's going to have to start plays. It's different starting points with his runs that actually asks him to be much more of a facilitator.
But it also allows
him
to get a little bit of space where you can't just mark him with your holding mid or your center back, because you can't pull them out of position. So it allows him to attack defenders a little bit more. It allows him to pick up the ball and run at guys a little bit more. I think no one's ever going to figure him out, but teams realize that if you put every single piece of your team to try and shut him down, there's a good chance you're going to beat Toronto FC. That doesn't mean he's not going to score. It just means that the team's not going to succeed. And I think moving him out left gives him that little bit of freedom. It also makes Osorio, I think, a better player, who proved, I thought, at the end of this year, that he could be not a game changer or not a match winner, but he could be a difference maker.
Yeah, I think you're probably more likely to go the other way around, right? I mean, you give Jovinko the second forward role and you let Osorio play wide still. He's the best player in the league. You get him on the ball in dangerous positions as often as possible. How they'll do it, we'll see. Let us know what you think on that one. Mike McGee is a guy who scored a bunch of goals in one season, but then hasn't really had that since. Injuries kind of hampering him. He's a free agent. He's making a decision, apparently, between Vancouver, Sporting Kansas City, the Galaxy, and the Chicago Fire. Where are you sending him? You're his agent. You're going to tell. Well, you're not. Just for clarity here, so people don't jump to conclusions. But where's he signing?
I think he went to Chicago for a reason a couple of years ago. I don't think it was purely money. I think he wanted to be home, and I think he still wants to be home. My gut says that he and the Fire work something out. But if it's not there, I think he probably ends up back with the Galaxy.
Yeah, those are the logical ones, right? I mean, Paunovic, the thing about the Fire now with Paunovic, if you're an older guy, I have to imagine he's going to give them the opportunity to really help build a new culture, and that's going to be the whole like focal point of this. And as a guy who's been in LA and been successful in this league for a long time, you'd think Mike McGee, with his connections to the city, with his experience, would be a great guy to help do that. So, what are you gonna?
Paunovic won Serbian Coach of the Year.
He did. He also won, I believe, the UEFA. Like youth coach of the year, maybe.
I mean, it makes sense given what Serbia did in the 20s. The one
obvious
that I don't really get here is Vancouver, because they have so many 30-ish year old attackers who spent so much time injured this past year. I don't know that bringing McGee in changes that math up at all.
We'll give Vancouver a gift, perhaps a striker of some sort in the second segment. James McFadden, it appears, is headed to the Philadelphia Union. He's signed with Motherwell through January. He says he will sign with the Union after that. He's the former Everton, Birmingham City, and Sunderland striker, also Scotland striker, 11 goals in 34 appearances with them. But he's never been a big goal scorer at club level. Never been particularly productive.
Is good the term you want to use?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to use that one, but just not productive. You wouldn't think that this is a guy who's he's not a shoe-in starter, you wouldn't think, coming into MLS. And Aristigueta is apparently back in France. They maybe are trying to figure that one out for next year. Some movement going on there with Philly. Look, we talked to Ernie Stewart. He's going to go for undervalued assets, you'd think, on the Moneyball scheme.
Yeah, so a free agent European would be an undervalued asset in that he doesn't have to pay a transfer fee.
Yeah, we don't know what this guy's contract would be. I can't imagine it would be huge, but he's 32 years old. Yep, yeah. And look, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on how James McFadden plays, but he's not the,
I'm getting you a James
but
McFadden.
But if you were going to guess, if you were just going to venture guesses.
I'm going to venture a guess and say this is a depth piece, and perhaps there is something upstairs
right.
that Ernie Stewart knows and likes about this guy, and maybe there's a role with Bethlehem Steel.
Right. He also, I think, is close with Tommy Smith, who's the youth
yep.
director, and then because there's a Scottish contingent. Is he the one that scored the goal in France, the, like, insane volley from, like, 35 yards out? That Scotland
I mean,
I'd
pretend
France
to know the
1-0?
Answer to that, too, but I don't. I mean, if you're looking at this, you have to think, like you said, good depth piece. You see with them moving out Maidana, probably going to be more of a high-pressure, high-paced team next year. Maybe he's a guy who gets
who
up top
goal,
and just runs around. Yeah, we don't have to guess anymore. Just have that one.
We'll make sure to tweet that out.
Yeah,
someone learned
sure.
how to use the Google machine.
We're guessing a little bit as to the future of Matt Miazga. Reportedly, he turned down a new deal from the Red Bulls. 2016 is the last year of his current contract. Ivis Garlicep is reporting that Chelsea and Leicester City are interested, that EPL teams are interested. Of course, Miazga has that EU passport, so he wouldn't have to go through all the work permit issues that have hampered U.S. national team players in the past. Some people saying that he would be sold perhaps and then loaned back for 2016. Rapid ascent, huh? This is a rapid ascent for a guy. And we've talked about it all year. He's got so much talent. It's not really a surprise that people are sniffing around.
I mean, it's a surprise given where we were at the start of the season.
This kid wasn't even
a starter. He is just a perfect example of how I think we all want to see MLS teams develop their talent. You know, year one, get him on the bench. Year two, give him 1,000 minutes. Year three, starter and star. It's perfect. And yeah, at this point, I think you have to get money for him. You have to be
agreed.
Look, it's a business. You have to be willing to do business. And it sucks for Ali Curtis and Jesse Marsh because they're going to have to figure out how to replace this guy and Demian Parnell, who were so good.
What
together.
If the thought is, can we win MLS Cup this year and lose him for nothing? I think that's the only issue is that they're in such a close spot.
I think that's what the Revs did with AJ Soares in 2014. Yeah.
But AJ Soares' value, it's not even comparable, really. Yeah. The level of interest, the national team kind of, I don't want to call it a coronation, but there is a feeling that you have Jurgen and you have guys like Andy Herzog out here saying, hey, this guy's ceiling is incredible. He's really, really good. And the likes of Chelsea and Leicester City, of course. Hey, Leicester City is the best team in the league. Chelsea, relegation threatened.
Yeah,
so,
you don't want him to be in the championship.
I don't even know if you want it. Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't want to take your chances. It might be a championship team.
Exactly. You want him with an ambitious championship team, one that has eyes on promotion. Mm-hmm. So Chelsea might be the perfect fit.
Yeah, 24, 25 games there.
I mean, if things go right, maybe like one of the smaller clubs up north, like Manchester United as well, or Liverpool. You know, these teams that look like they're probably going down.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with Matt Miazga.
Doyle is so happy right now.
I know. Yeah, look, I had to get the Chelsea dig in as well. There are some rumors as to who might be a replacement, or at least somebody who can come in and help out on that back line. Tim Sebastian, a German defender there who plays for Red Bull Leipzig. He's 32. He's the captain of that squad since 2010 when they were fourth division. Has kind of been a fan favorite for a long time. Apparently, he may come over in 2016. We'll see what happens with them. But the reason why they're like setting a precedent with Miazga is important, Matt, is because they are signing, reportedly, all these homegrowns. They're really dipping into the academy. And when you look at the likes of, say, a Derek Etienne or a Brandon Allen, guys like this, when you see somebody get sold on, when you see somebody go to a new opportunity, that's attractive. That makes you want to sign with the club. I mean, that goes across the league for homegrown players.
Every local kid in New Jersey can look at Miazga's story and think, like, hey, there is the path now. There is the path from, being a 12-year-old with dreams to being a 20-year-old playing in the Youth World Cup and the U.S. national team and getting interest from Europe. It's huge. I don't think any of these four guys that they signed have that kind of ceiling.
Well, it's still reportedly, right?
I disagree.
It's still reported.
Yes, reportedly so.
Yeah,
yes,
reported.
I'm as big a Derek Etienne fan as there is on the face of the earth.
You are the voice of Red Bulls, too.
Yeah, you called I watched him a lot. Number of his games.
No, I mean, what?
Give us the scouting report.
He was 18, and he was the best player on the field. After about three professional games, he figured it out. He's got great feet. He's got creativity. He takes guys on. He can score, and he can set up. They played him out on the wing, but he's physical. He's big enough that once he puts on a little bit more weight, he could play in the middle. Not as a center forward, as a number 10. He's as talented a young player as I've seen. And obviously, 99% of those players don't make it. Mm-hmm. But he already proved he could play professional soccer to some level. He put up better numbers in the USL than Freddie Adu put up in NASL this year. And, like, that's what we're talking about. And people are like, well, you don't know if
And I thought we were only going to make one Freddie Adu reference. No, we're going. There's another one coming. There's another one coming later. Yeah.
But he's already proved that he can figure out, you know, take a step and figure out what's going on around him and improve. And he went from being a 20-minute player to the best player on the field within 2 months.
So, and that's the progression you want to see. But then, you know, you throw it out there. You know, Bradford Jameson had some similar right. hype to him. Injuries have derailed him. We'll see what happens with some of these guys, whether they sign or not. It seems that way. I remember Brandon Allen's a guy who's been in line for the Hermann Trophy for a couple years now, an All-American. So he's a quality player as well. Last here on kind of the transactional rundown here in MLS, it's only going to get faster and more furious. Corey Ash, another free agent, signed with the Crew.
Crew SC,
yes, that's right. It doesn't seem like they needed a starter at fullback. They re-signed Harrison Offal. You have Waylon Francis, but this guy's as good a depth out there as you probably
got. I mean,
get.
They lost Chris Cloutier well, they traded him to Portland, so that this is their depth piece. I am just shocked that Corey Ash did not sign with the Earthquakes.
Yeah, I know.
I would have, because they don't have Jordan Stewart anymore. They don't really have a top left back.
Right.
And Dom Kinnear go back.
Yeah, but you didn't. He lost his spot, didn't he, in that last year under Dom? Maybe there were some.
I mean, perhaps. Yeah, they did bring.
Yeah, maybe he just wanted a fresh start. You know, who knows? Corey Ash, a good signing
also,
for Columbus Crew SC.
He might want to see what it would look like for him to play in that system where if he gets minutes to bomb forward,
right?
To get that.
And he will get minutes because
Waylon
Francis is going to miss time on international duty.
And that's you think Harrison Offal will as well with
Connor. That's where you go to this free agency side of like, okay, we've been talking about the environment you're in and all that, but then for players at that age, it starts to become – what best fits me? Is there a system that I haven't had the opportunity to play in that I think I could really thrive in? Maybe that's the...
And honestly, I think cost of living, too. I really do think that if there's... We always talk about the advantage that L.A. and New York and maybe Chicago and Toronto have in terms of signing big names. But I think for these middle-class players, I think, hey, I'm on the other side of 30 now. I could live in Columbus for a few years. I could live in Kansas City.
Yeah,
I could live in Sandy, Utah. You know,
you also see clubs that are using former players post-career as coaches, trusting American coaches, stuff like that.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Any thoughts on anything we talked about here? We will, I guess we'll get to them in the new year because, as I said, we will be gone at Extra Time Radio, Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com.
Well, you're going to be in Big Burn, Kansas, so you'll be on Twitter probably.
Big Burn, great
24
bin.
Hours
good try, though. Really good try, yeah. And we're coming back with Fat and Taff, sweet, sweet Taff in the next segment.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back now on Extra Time Radio. A very special segment for you here. Sweet, sweet Taff. Fat. I don't know what we're going to call it. It's an officially unofficial mechanism here.
Yeah. We received this press release.
Uh-huh.
From Don Garber himself.
No. Let's not go quite that far. I had Dave drafted up. Anyway, we're going to give away some freely acquired things or some things acquired freely. Taff, fat, whatever you want to call it. We're giving out some gifts because it's the holiday season. And we are going to go through all the teams here. We're going to go reverse order. So let's start.
Reverse. Was that remorse? Because
that's how
of
that's how they pronounce it in Great Bluff, Kansas.
Let's start.
Wait,
with,
in Large Urn, Kansas.
Let's start with Chicago Fire. What are we giving to them, guys? What do they need this holiday season?
I'm going to give them Jeff Cameron. I think they need a stud / at center back. I think he'd also be the perfect mentor for a Matt Polster because I think they he could play in a similar style. So I'm going to give them Jeff Cameron. I tried to think of great American center backs that they could bring back and like use, and there wasn't that many. Jonathan Brooks is probably the only other one, right?
And yeah, he's not coming back. So, I'm going to give him Carlos Vela in a blind draw. We're going to bring the blind draw back from the dead just so they can win one. And they get CV.
And then we retire the blind draw.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a pretty good present.
Yeah, huh?
I'm going to give him a consistent, sensical lineup that puts the guys there in places to succeed. I don't want to see Harry Ship on the wing anymore. I don't want to see Matt Polster playing right back. I don't want to see Gilberto playing in three different formations in three different spots.
Yeah.
Let's go 4-2-3-1 with this gang, and let's see what this team can do.
Okay, good gifts there for the Fire. Which one do you want, Fire fans? Let us know. The Union. What are we giving to the Union, Dave?
Mine was sabotaged by a coworker of mine, which I forgot until just now and looking at it. So what mine says and what he said to me was they need a young, former U.S. international player who's still trying to prove himself and work his career back into shape, and that means Freddie Adu. So that's the second reference of Freddie Adu.
Okay. We might have a third reference.
I don't know that Philly would take him back.
Yeah. I'm giving Philly 3,000 minutes of Mo Adu.
Mm.
Three, basically playing the whole season, and like Mo Adu at his best. I think if you have him at his best and he's playing center back for you, that gives you a great chance of being in the top three or four in the East.
I love that Adu Marquez pairing. I thought they showed a lot of potential to work together and improve over the years if they're able to stay together and healthy. And along those lines, I'm giving them front office vision and consistency. Mm. No more seat of the pants, mid-season acquisitions that make zero sense. I think Ernie Stewart's got it on lockdown. I think things are finally going to start making sense.
The thing that I did,
Eastu,
the thing
that?
I no? did want to put down before I realized Freddie Adu was still on my list was that they start 4-4 in the first eight games. That they have a steady start, not too hot,
right,
but not too cold, that everyone can relax.
Because they've
been
combined like 1-20 the last 2 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, tough starts. For the Rapids, I'm giving them Kubo Torres. How and why, I don't know, but I'm going to give him that goal scorer up top. I know Kevin Doyle's been a good – actually, you know, I'm giving him Chivas USA Kubo Torres. We'll add an addendum onto that.
Chiva
so.
Fighter as well, maybe thrown in. I'm going to give them Dylan Cerna becomes the next young American stud because – if your team's struggling a little, the one thing you want is to have a young player that's really fun to watch. And I think Dylan Cerna has that capability.
I think he could be that. I'm still not sure whether he's a left back or a left winger.
Right.
I hope that we get to see it this year. In fact, I'm gonna change at the last minute. I'm going to change my present and then go along with Fastman and say we find out what kind of player Dylan Cerna is this year. Because I think he could be a big part of what this team wants to do going forward, hopefully.
Yeah. New York City FC, I have two gifts for them. One of them is also two. It's two wins against the Red Bulls.
Ooh.
Gotta get a little bit of spice in that New York rivalry. And then the other one is for Patrick Vieira to fall in love with Kwadwo Opoku and basically like give him all the gifts, everything that he can give him. So that's my two.
So growing up, Patrick Vieira was my favorite player in the world. And if Kwadwo Opoku became 1/17th of what Patrick Vieira was, I would buy a Kwadwo Opoku jersey tomorrow. That was all irrelevant of my game.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them Jose Mourinho.
Ooh.
He's out there. They're NYC. Big name. And just to make it more realistic, he's going to be an assistant coach to Patrick Vieira.
Like
as Patrick Vieira finds
like
his feet.
It, yeah.
I'm not going to troll. I'm going to give them the gift of balance. Look, they have a very old roster at one end and kind of a too young roster at the other end. I think they need more guys who are in that 24 to 28, 29-year-old range. Good pros, guys who fit their positions. I mean, right now I still don't know how they can possibly line that team up. Balance on the field, balance in terms of the ages.
That's some good stuff.
And hopefully a couple more wins.
Yeah, good stuff for NYCFC there. They're going to be happy with what's under the tree. Let's see. RSL. This is where I was going to throw Freddie Adu. I was going to put him under Javier Morales' wing and let him go revisit a tough part of his career and maybe come out a better player for it. And 2 years down the line when Javi, you know, I assume can no longer do Javi things anymore. And there goes the radiator.
Yep. Yeah.
There went the radiator. That gift is out.
Javi Mo will never stop doing what he does.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What are you giving him?
I'm going to give them a re-signed and healthy Chris Schuler. because the guy was a U.S. national team.
It really would be a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. Verge player, what, 2 years ago? Two years ago, he was the next starting U.S. center back.
He was excellent.
It was a problem position. He can't stay healthy, so.
Big guys with bad feet. It's tough. Yeah. For me, I'm going back to Wiebe's gift, and it is an heir to the Javi Moe throne, except it's not Freddy Adu. It's Bofo Saucedo, the guy that they have.
They already got him.
On the roster, I think he played a big role for Real Monarchs last year. Could be the next big thing. We see in 2016.
You know what is delightful, though? The Christmas music behind this. I'm loving it. We maybe should just do this for every
single
show.
Just call it holiday music. And,
non-denominational holiday music that's piped into your ears here.
But speaking of music, next up is the Houston Dynamo.
What are you giving them?
And my gift to the Houston Dynamo is a glorious new goal song.
Oh,
Dynamo.
Dynamo. I like that one.
And we will never sing on this show again.
That was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. A string puller. Look, they got Christian Maidana to be their chance creator. I have my doubts about that, but he can do that. He can make chances. We know that the other guys in their midfield can be destroyers. They don't have that sort of central midfield brain who could spread the game out, get the ball into, get the passing game into
like
a rhythm.
Polster or like a Failhaber?
I'm thinking more like what we'll say Eric Alexander was able to do for the Red Bulls a couple years ago.
Third
and that's
option.
A guy who may, in fact, be on the trading block.
Yeah, he's a guy that didn't get a lot of time in Montreal this year, maybe out there. I'm going to give him Gold Cup Giles Barnes. I'm going to just tap into that little phase of the Giles Barnes career and make it that experience the whole time for the Dynamo. Orlando City, I'm giving him Breck Shea at his very, very best, forcing his way into the national team at left back. Gives him a nice player to build around, a young player with some value, and really would provide some extra width for him out there. And Breck Shea, so much talent. I want to see it actually pay off. Well, not actually. He's been very, very good at times. But consistently, no injuries, healthy. That seems like a consistent present from us right now.
And I'm going to stay on the left side, and I'm going to give them the Carlos Rivas that we saw for the last 2 months. Because for the first 4 or 5 months of the season, it was a running joke that this guy was a DP. And then I think starting with that Red Bulls game, where he absolutely torched the Red Bulls. And he was good from then on in. So if you have Breck Shea and Carlos Rivas on the left side,
that's tough.
That's tough. Smoke right there.
Yep.
I wish every player that plays on the wing in MLS just had to watch videos of defenders trying to defend guys running at them consistently and just be like, if you do that on every play, the majority in the end will come to you. Mine was health, and I think you could say that about 5 or 6 MLS teams, that they would have had great seasons or whatever for health, but losing, I don't know, their second best player for the entire year in Molino, Breck Shea.
Well, we didn't know maybe their second best player, but a guy who
Molino's
could maybe who could have been a hot take.
I think also next year will be a key that Kaká was unbelievably healthy this year, and I don't know that that's going to happen 2 years in a row. So I think if they can keep the lineup out there on the field that they want, they're competitive.
Earthquakes, what do we got for them?
Innocent. The guy that they brought in to sort of be that third heat, he went down early and he never got a chance to. This team, I think they're going to play a 4-4-2 again, and what they needed last year was a guy who could play inverted on the left and threaten goal, a lot like what Simon Dawkins did way back in 2012. I think a healthy Innocent can
He's
be
a guy
that
who's
guy.
Available as well, I think.
That's correct.
I'm going to give a gift to their fan base and to Tommy Thompson.
Ooh.
I'm going to let the Tommy Thompson hype train really get on the rails and get rolling. Tommy Thompson, 5 goals for him. Get everybody excited again.
Was anyone better than Annibal Godoy, by the way?
I know.
Acquisition? Like if Drogba, well, obviously Drogba.
Yeah.
But he was phenomenal.
I was thinking
the
about making this
so
a Godoy-based gift, but I was like, well, he was so good.
Right.
Just,
there's
what else
no
am I going?
Base
How about
gift.
More of that for them on that side? Toronto FC, what do you guys got?
I'm going to make it so that So there's no controversy ever again. Every single goal they score is automatically awarded to Sebastian Giovinco. And therefore, you never have to deal with
that's
it.
That's actually a pretty safe bet. I mean,
that's true.
There's worse bets.
I'm going to give them progress for Jozy Altidore on both sides of the ball. And I know that we think of Jozy as a veteran, but he is. But he's 26 years old, and players can still improve, can still mature. And I think Jozy showed in the last month and a half of the season, and I think in the last few games for the U.S. that he was more committed on the defensive side of the ball, and I think his hold-up play continues to improve and be undervalued by both the Toronto fans and U.S. national team.
I'm going to give him a home playoff game under the lights. You're gonna have the roof there next year. Everything's set up for BMO Field. Really a shame they didn't get one this year. It's on them for not getting one, but I'm going to give them one under the lights in 2016.
Well, speaking of buildings to play and experiences, the New England Revolution, it's the one team I think that's left that you have to say, I'm going to give them a stadium. I know the soccer culture in that city. I know the buzz that it would be if they had an accessible stadium. You'd have 25,000 college kids that wanted to go to every single game, so... That's what I'm going to give to the New England Revolution, besides giving away Lee Wynn.
There's no better gift than that, I think. You got one for him?
Well, I'm going to say a happy Lee Wynn, and a guy who can continue to create the type of chances that he creates and dictate where and how the game is played from an attacking standpoint.
DC United, I'm going to say Benny Ball not, quote-unquote, holding them back, to quote Bill Hamid. I just think a little bit of a refresher on the style of play and the product on the field ahead of going into their new stadium, ahead of their rebrand. I know that that's been effective for them. Maybe a healthy Fabian Castillo helps. Not Fabian Castillo. Fabian Espindola helps.
I've got Castillo on the brain.
We'll get to Fabio later.
I was going
to
say he would help them.
Yep.
I'm going to do similar. I'm going to say that next progression. You had a bad team. You had to find a way to be competitive. They put a team together that played that Benny Ball. But now you have players and you can get new guys to come in and fill those gaps and bring just a little bit of creativity to the roster. And
yeah. So. I mean, that's the what I have written down here is some sort of midfield creativity, but I think it can actually start with a more defined role for Perry Kitchen. I don't love him in that box-to-box role that he's been primarily playing. I think he plays better when he's a little deeper. It could be a true six, kind of like what we saw from Diego Chara once the Timbers straighten themselves.
Yeah, that'd make U.S. fans happy as well. Sporting KC, gifts there. I'm going to go bionic lower half for Aiko Parra. Just cannot be broken.
I have the same gift. Yeah. The same gift. Because Aiko Parra, the first month of the season, was phenomenal. And he gets hurt every year, and it's a shame because he is the most dominant aerial player in the league. I think Sporting get 7 to 10 more points this year if he stays healthy. Yeah.
I'm going to take a different tack on a similar problem. I'm going to say, you said Matt Miazga was the example. You sign, then you play 1,000 minutes,
then you become a star. Going.
This year, Eric Palmer Brown becomes the next Matt Miazga.
Boom, that's good.
Establishes himself as a legitimate MLS starter and US U20 player.
Speaking of Miazga, Chelsea, all that stuff, I am going to give Montreal Impact the gift of Chelsea and Roman Abramovich losing Didier Drogba's cell phone number and just like a no-contact clause there where they can't talk to each other. He must play for us in 2016. You got to imagine Impact fans are kind of besides themselves right now. Like, please, please do not take him away after just a taste.
I'm going to say the second-year bump for MLS players, for players that come into the league and then get better the next year, and it's Johan Venegas, and it's obviously Didier Drogba. If Venegas takes a step like Piatti did after his second season, I mean, this team could be
unstoppable. And they need him, too, because Romero got hurt and Map is gone now.
And Duca might be as well.
True. For Montreal, I'm going to put a limit on the bell. Look, I think the ringing the bell after a goal is awesome if you do it 2, 3, maybe 5 times, but those guys ringing it 50 freaking times after every goal, you're killing what should be an awesome tradition.
I'm going to sprinkle in a little something actually here. This is a gift for all of us in the world of MLS. Healthy Cameron Porter. Because that guy's the best. And I want him to be
healthy. That might be the best moment of 2015. Him scoring that goal?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. God. Would you trade Cameron Porter for Lee Wynn straight up? Yes, you would. I see it in your eyes.
If I had Lee Wynn, I would give allocation money as well to acquire Cameron Porter. Because I wouldn't want to fleece a team.
Yeah, a little gam and tam on the side there. For Columbus, I am going to give – no, we're in Portland, who I give the gift of humility. Because they're going to be...
Weeby, why can't you just let them be happy?
Because they're going to be just... You better believe they're going to be talking trash all year long, which they earned and deserved. But, you know, it's best when it's a little bit understated and not over the top.
Portland Timber fans are going to descend on Red Urn, Kansas this Christmas and take you apart. I'm going to say...
Small twist.
A permanent MLS Cup VIP pass for their log. But the disclaimer is, whether they are in it or not, they have to bring the log. They therefore have to drive it to every MLS Cup from here on.
If I was Columbus, I would have let the log in. on the condition that Frankie Haydick gets the chainsaw and gets to
and just
chop
just to deform that log, like, yeah.
So we're putting a chainsaw in the hands of Frankie Haydick in a stadium
absolutely.
Of 28,000 people.
Absolutely. Don't even show the game on TV. Just on the whole TV broadcast, just a live stream of Frankie Haydick.
I can't imagine a single thing that would have gone wrong with that. No, for Portland, I'm giving them a homegrown player. Look, they've gotten a lot of stuff right over the last few years. Quite obviously, they have their trophy now. They need to. And they've really invested in their academy over the last couple of years, and now they have the Timbers 2 up and running. They need somebody to come through and be their Miazga, be their Will Trapp, be their Kellen Acosta. Hopefully it happens in 2016. I don't know that anybody's close, but maybe.
Well, we'll see. Maybe Rubio Rubin back in the day. That would have been a nice first home ground, huh?
I know they tried hard, too.
Yeah, for Columbus, I'm giving them, like, it's like a get-out-of-jail-free card, but it's get-out-of-playing-recklessly-in-the-back free card. So that, you know, the first time they, you know.
Parkhurst trips.
Yeah, whatever you want to fill in the blank from play from this season. The first time that happens, Greg Berhalter, it's like a challenge flag, and they just get to pull the goal out, and they say, okay, guys, lesson learned. Let's stop doing that.
I'm going to give them nothing. I actually don't. They had.
Not even Cole?
They were the most entertaining team to watch this year. They hosted an MLS Cup. Yep. They have a young coach who believes in his philosophy. They have a star young player who's from their hometown. What do they need?
One more year of health and the process. Because they only got Offal and Gaston Saro in the second half of the season.
And Mboate.
And Mboate, that's right. So I want to see the entire first, like, 16, 17 players on the roster back next year because I want to see how good this team can be. I think this could be the first team since those 2011 Galaxy to win the Shield Cup double.
Vancouver Whitecaps, they won the Canadian Championship last year. They'll be in the NCCL this year. What are we giving them?
What are we giving them? A full season from Octavio Rivero. This guy was so good in March and April, in the first half of May, and then he kind of fell off the face of the earth as a goal scorer. Still did a lot of work holding the ball up, but he missed a couple of open looks against Portland in the first leg of that series that he had to put away.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I'm giving him striker competition with Octavio Rivero. I'm giving him the Darren Maddox that caused them to pick him number one over Darlington Nagbe. We haven't really seen a progression from Darren Maddox in MLS over the course of his time.
Maddox went number two behind Andrew Wenger.
Oh, my
God. It was
God.
A year after Nagbe.
Oh, man. Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, the Akron connection got me all mixed up.
Right.
Anyway, we'll give him the number two. We'll give him the number two. That's good enough, I think.
That's what they got last year.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him Chris Wondolowski.
Oh, I just picked that one up.
I'm going to give him Chris Wondolowski. If you can give Kubo to Colorado, I'm going to give him Wando.
Okay.
Just a guy, all he does is finish.
I'm going to give him 1962 Alberto DiStefano.
Oh, really?
That? Yeah.
That's fine.
That's a great
I'll give
present.
Him 70s Cruyff.
Okay.
Let's see who wins.
Who's FC Dallas getting? I'm actually giving FC Dallas $10 million for Fabian Castillo because I think it sets a precedent for their academy and their ability to develop attacking players. It's a great story for the club. It's a great, investment opportunity for them and their academy and everything else. It's great for MLS. It's great for Fabian Castillo. He wants to move. So
I'm going to continue to be unrealistic, and I'm going to say that they swap Fabian Castillo for either Uribe Peralta or Dario Di Benedetto. One of those two could be the striker that they've always needed, and both
Give
of them
Uribe.
Would sell a million tickets. So
They would, but I think the guy that they actually need is Kenwyn Jones, and he is out of contract in the summer, so I think for the right offer, they can probably get him in January, and I think he would be absolutely ideal.
He would. That would be. That would make them a scary team. That would make them extremely scary. And last but not least, the New York Red Bulls Supporters Shield winners for 2015. By the way, we just got the press release. Brandon Allen and Derek Etienne signed as homegrown players. No word on the other two yet, but it seems those two are in. I'm giving them a lack of a 300-page plan hangover because everything went really, really well this year. Just about as well as it could have gone, minus the playoffs. Center back's an issue. Keeping this form's an issue. I'm giving them no fall off next year.
I'm giving them one more postseason goal. 2 years in a row now they have come one. I guess maybe even 3 years in a row, right? Because in 2013 they lost to Houston by a single goal.
Oh yeah, and that was a crazy game at Red Bull Arena too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So one more postseason goal.
Big game, big gift for you there.
Maybe Derek Etienne scores that goal.
Let the
legend rise.
And then you get on this show and like, oh hey. Where's that?
You guys will have to.
Where's
call
that radiator?
You guys
will
have to call me in because I'll be in Zurich as president of FIFA at the time.
Wait, did you just announce your campaign?
It's a back channel type thing that they've been pushing.
Isn't it always?
It's always.
Hey, by the way, 8-year suspension for Platini and Blatter. We didn't mention that, but that's big news. So give him a gift and let's get to the mailbag.
I've said this a few times, but I'm going to give him a number 10. I think you take bring. I think the way you approve this team, I know it drives Doyle nuts. You get a number 10, you drop Sasha in a little bit deeper next to Dax, and you get a guy.
He's second in the league in assists.
Right, so now you have two guys on the team who could be second in the league in assists.
Going straight New York with that one. There you have it. Those are our gifts for all the teams. Do you have a league gift? Is there a gift that you would give MLS as a whole?
Ronaldinho and Marco Fabian. No, Marco Fabian went to Eintracht Frankfurt.
I know.
Did
break your heart.
In the middle of it.
Anything, Doyle, for the league?
Five more teams that are committed to playing their kids that are really willing to do what Oscar Pereja has done in Dallas. Five more.
Continued progress for me on the TV ratings front, and it was year one of Friday and Sunday. It seemed to go pretty well. Baby steps forward, but hopefully. Some good progress on that side as far as viewership and folks watching the league on a regular basis.
And I would just say, I mean, in terms of what the TAM thing is doing, that 5 to 10 range player on each roster, just that little bit of improvement, I think you can already see from 3 years ago the quality on rosters improving. It still needs that extra step where you go into games where one guy's not supposed to be on the field every once in a while, and that can be the reason the game changes.
All right, there's our gifts. Let us know what you think. What did you give in your team? Any of these stick out to you? At Extra Time Radio, extratime@mlssoccer.com. If you want to email us, let's go to the mailbag. Those sweet, sweet Christmas jams.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. I'm going to be listening to this in Mediocre Curve, Kansas, all
nice.
Winter break long. Some Manhattan transfer here into the mailbag. Before we jump into some mail, look, our gift for ourselves should probably be time management skills for 2016. So we only have about 5 minutes. But there was an interesting article that you can read over there at Empire of Soccer about a possible site for NYCFC, a stadium site. The Sunnyside Yards, they're kind of just a little bit east of Long Island City, which is really coming up here, off a ton of trains. Like, the project, when you read about it, it sounds basically like an impossibility, but it could be really, really cool.
In terms of access for the entire metro area, this is the best spot that I've seen.
Yeah.
In terms of the stadium becoming a landmark, I am still just so married to the idea of Pier 40. And I, for folks who aren't familiar with New York, the piers on the Hudson River side actually jut out into the water. And Pier 40 is giant and actually has a couple of soccer fields there. Mm-hmm. A lot of city leagues play there and everything. But like, there were plans a couple of years back to say make it basically a floating 25,000.
It would be a park up and down the side of Manhattan that walks out into one of the trendiest neighborhoods in all of New York City. It would be, I'm saying, and I have said this before, an event on no other level of any sporting event outside of maybe Wimbledon that would touch it. Like, it would be fun. It would be exciting. It would be trendy. It would be popular. It'd be cool. I would never get invited. I probably couldn't get a ticket anymore.
No, you couldn't.
But it would be awesome.
Pipe dreams. We'll see what happens. Let's get to the mail.
And that's the dream. So, Club World Cup occurring right now. FC Barcelona.
Didn't Barcelona win it?
They won 3-0 over River Plate, which isn't fair because the seasons change and all that stuff. River Plate had to sell starters, but I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Putting in qualifiers or anything.
You've got practice on the CCL complaining.
Yeah. My question is, what are the chances of MLS/USA going to host the Club World Cup? I forgot it was on and found out the finals being played this weekend. It's a great tournament. More people would watch it. Also, the host gets a representative. So that means that an MLS team, even if they didn't win CCL, would automatically get it. So two things. One, what do you think the odds are that it happens? Two, if it happened, is it MLS Cup or Supporter Shield winner that gets to
odds
be the
are
team?
Low, I would say, considering, you know, the FIFA US connections right now.
I mean, who knows? Maybe with the Blatter and Platini news, maybe with the ongoing investigation, things change. Who knows? But it is a natural fit. And you could have it you wouldn't have to spread it out. You could have it just in Texas one year.
Right.
You could have it just in Florida. You could have it just in Southern California.
Now it is December.
I think they would go the Northeast probably.
No, it's December because you want it in a warm place,
yeah,
that's I think.
True. That's
yeah,
because
you would want – I mean – you want people to come there for the teams, but also on vacation.
Yeah, I think you have to give it to the MLS Cup winner, too. You have to. I just don't think that's even a debate.
Right, so it was in Japan, so their league winner won it, but their league winner is their regular season league winner.
MLS Cup winner, I'm just going to come in and settle that one. Let's jump into the next email here. What do we got?
We have a tweet from Vancouver Armada. We have two questions about the Canadian national team, so I'm reading both of them. Mm-hmm. This one says, ticket sales for Canada versus Mexico looking like it'll be a 54,000-person sellout.
Epic.
Rise up, Canada.
Yes, epic.
March 25th. Will this help Canada earn a victory?
I mean, it can't hurt Canada, can it? I mean, will it result in a victory? I'm not sure about that. But
I don't think they're going
to
win.
Nil-nil draw would be – I mean, you should be marching off the field triumphant after a nil-nil draw against Mexico, even at home. So
I think they will be. Austin Shatman asks, who do you think had a better 2015 between the U.S. and Canada as far as the national team performance and recruitment goes? And as a follow-up, I'd love to hear some thoughts on who shows more promise ahead of 2016.
I mean, relative to their standards, I think Canada clearly had a better season. They got themselves back on track. They're actually scoring goals. They realized Kyle Larin is a guy that they could build an attack around. I feel like Tesho Akindele made a little progress. And they got Simeon Jackson, Junior Hoyle, which is big, and Petrasa. So, like, I think Canada had a really
good
year.
So, officially, Matt Doyle says the Canadian national team is better than the U.S. national team on ETR on December
21st. That's going out there. That's getting out in the – getting out. Hey, look, that's all we
have
here.
Come on, Reddit, pick it
up.
Dave,
you need to go email those two and get them some swag. We have a bunch of other swag. We didn't give out as much as we wanted to today. We were trying to clean out some stuff. So when we come back from the new year, we will double down on the giveaways and have a little fun.
Or people that I owe swag to that I haven't sent might be getting like five
things.
Yeah,
people too. Hey, the other thing, if you want to get a gift from MLSstore.com before the holidays here – 100 plus orders get free 3-day shipping, and it's also 20% off cold weather gear. So go hit that up. Enjoy the holidays. We'll see you in the new year. Rest up.
Enjoy Poplar Bluff, Arkansas.
Yes.
Where are you?
I don't know.
I think it's Big Bang, New Hampshire.
I'll be wherever I am. You guys have fun too. We'll see you in the new year.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.